सत्वम राजस्थमा इति गुणा प्रकृति संभवा निबध्नन्ति महाभाहो देहि देहनम अव्ययम्।
Material nature consists of the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. When the living entity comes in contact with nature, he becomes conditioned by these modes. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The living entity, because he is transcendental, has nothing to do with this material nature. Still, because he has become conditioned by the material world, he is acting under the spell of the three modes of material nature. Because living entities have different kinds of bodies in different terms of the different aspects of nature, they are induced to act according to that nature. This is the cause of the varieties of happiness and distress. Material nature consists of the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. When the living entity comes in contact with nature, he becomes conditioned by these modes. This material existence, Lord Sri Krishna is explaining, is working under the influence of these three modes of material nature. Srila Prabhupada defines the word guna as rope. In fact, in Sanskrit, the word guna means rope as well as modes. So these three modes, or gunas, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are like ropes that helplessly bind the living entity to the bodily conception of life. And like ropes, they drag us to perform one activity, and then another activity, and another activity. And as we perform activities, we become more and more bound by these ropes. In this way, a foolish person thinks that he or she is independent. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimutatma karataham iti manyate. No one is independent in this world. What we desire is simply due to our enslavement under these three influences of material nature. If a person is greedy and thinks, I have my freedom, I can go out and I can make a big name and fame for myself and lots of wealth, you think that is freedom? You are simply being dragged by the mode of passion, Rajaguna. When we feel freedom to experience the pleasures of sex life, again, it is not our own free will, but we are being influenced and dragged by the mode of passion. Some people think it's a free world. I like to take intoxications. It is my free will to smoke the cigarettes or drink the alcohol, or to sleep as much as I like to sleep. What does that mean? Such a poor, unfortunate soul is just being dragged by tamaguna, the mode of ignorance, into these activities which more deeply bind him in the mode of ignorance. And someone thinks, let me give charity, Let me do good to my neighbor. Let me hear beautiful poetry, go out into the country and see the birds and hear them sing and be with the nice trees. This is the mode of goodness, bound by the modes of goodness. In this way, although the modes of nature are pulling us one way or another, we do have the independence to resist if we so desire. And this is called spiritual strength. To be willing to stand up and say no to the pullings of the modes of material nature. But the longer we give in, the more we become enslaved. Just like any bad habit. The more cigarettes you smoke, the more cigarettes, the more you are dictated and enslaved by that habit. Therefore, material life, people become so foolish that they strive to perform those activities by which they become conditioned, habituated, bound, and they have to suffer. Gambling is one of the greatest intoxications in this world. In fact, just as there is Alcoholics Anonymous, there is also Sexaholic Anonymous, one of the largest growing groups in the Western world. There is also Gamblers Anonymous. They just become so infatuated by just getting something cheap, by that sensation, by that feeling of risk. They become addicted to it. They can't live without it. So what is this material nature? It is just so many traps of sense objects and various types of activities to just addict you, to habituate you, to condition you. And it is almost impossible to free oneself from those ropes, from those conditionings. Just like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a story of when Lord Sri Krishna came to Mathura. After killing Kamsa, he went to the home of Akrura just to please his devotee. Although Sri Krishna knows everything, Veda Hum Samatitani Varatamanani Chajana Bhavashani Chabhutani Mamti Vedana Kashtana. He knows everything, past, present, and future. He knows all living beings. Still, in order to reciprocate love with his devotee, he gives seva, or service. So Krishna told Akrura that we are here in Mathura, but I am very anxious to hear news of how my dear devotees, the Pandavas, and their mother Kunti, how they are doing. I have heard that Dhritarashtra, under the influence of his evil-minded sons, are causing them great persecution. You kindly go to Hastinapur on my behalf, and you analyze everything as it is, and come back report to me. So Akrura, this great devotee, the uncle of Lord Sri Krishna, he went to Hastinapur, and first he was greeted by Kunti and Vidura, those two most pious, gentle, and spiritual souls. So Vidura and Kunti were both explaining all the terrible atrocities that were coming upon the Pandavas. How they were fed poison, how they tried to, in so many ways, to kill them, to belittle them, to defame them. They were giving them no rights. And then Queen Kunti began to pray that I am simply remembering my Lord Sri Krishna. And in all situations of life, whether they be good or whether they be bad, whether they be pleasant or dangerous. In remembering Sri Krishna, we find relief from all the miseries of the modes of material nature. In surrendering our hearts and our minds in the remembrance of Krishna, we become transcendental. Although Queen Kunti was in a situation no mother would possibly want, she herself was being persecuted. She told Akrura that, "Look at me, I am an innocent woman. I am like a lamb in a herd of jackals. They are misusing me. And my poor innocent children, what they are doing to them." And she began to cry. But she didn't cry out of frustration for herself. She began to cry in remembrance of Sri Krishna. "Oh, my Lord Sri Krishna, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the only shelter, the only savior of the fallen souls. You are our only hope in life. Vipadasantu tashashva tatra tatra jagatguru apu narabhava dharashanam." That in remembering Krishna, all of the miseries and sufferings of this world are dispelled, just as darkness is dispelled by the coming of the sunlight. Upon hearing Akrura, he wanted to further investigate. So he went to the palace of the king, Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra, being a great diplomat, he greeted Akrura with great affection and respect. And he began to explain how everything was going, presenting the positive side of everything. But then Akrura said, "Dhritarashtra, you know that this throne belongs to Yudhisthira. Because he was a young boy and his father died, you took it only with the responsibility until he grows. He's been grown. He's well past his age. Why you do not give it up? Why you are torturing these poor children? Why don't you treat them equally? Why are you so much contaminated by your evil sons that you are behaving in such an irreligious way? Do you not know that all of your wealth and all of your fame and all of your prestige, it is just like a rope around your neck? It's getting tighter and tighter and tighter because it is all born and being accumulated from your sinful activities. Do you not know that the soul is eternal? Your wealth, your children, your wives, your throne, and your very body, do you not understand that very soon it's all going to be taken away from you? And that all you're going to have left in your life is all the reactions of your sins, and you're going to have to suffer terribly. Is it worth it? You have all of this, and you have no peace. You have no happiness, neither in this world nor the next. Why do you not give the throne to Yudhisthira Maharaj? Why do you not act according to the principles of Dharma? Do you not know that the Pandavas are directly, intimately protected by Krishna?" And Dhritarashtra began to speak. He said, "Yes, I know. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the cause of all causes. He is everything that is. He is the master and controller of this entire material creation. Whatever is the will of Krishna must be done. Whoever disobeys the will of Krishna must be punished. Whoever performs the will of Krishna will be rewarded. rewarded eternally, unlimitedly.
Krishna is so dear to his devotees,
and his devotees are so dear to him.
But, he explained to Akrura, although I know all of these things, by my association, by my advisors and ministers like Shakuni, by the influence of the association of my children headed by Duryodhana, Dushasana, he said, I have already begun all this persecution. I have already begun all these sinful activities. I cannot stop now. It has become my life. Akrura left Hastinapur and reported all of these events to Sri Krishna. See the unfortunate, lamentable, pitiable condition of Dhritarashtra. He knew Krishna's God. He knew he was wrong. He knew the Pandavas were right. He knew he would have to suffer the sinful reactions of what he was doing. But he was so habituated, so conditioned to his evil ways, that even with good consciousness, he could not give it up. He considered it impossible. Just like if you are driving in your car, going the northern direction as fast as you can. To start going southward is not an easy thing. You have to come to a halt and turn around. It's an endeavor. The easy thing is to just go forward, even if you're going the wrong direction. It's easy to just go forward. Especially here in the roads in Bombay, you know how hard it is to turn around. The easy thing is just to go, whatever way you're going. But if you're going the wrong direction, what kind of fool you are. This is Dhritarashtra's condition. The inertia of his conditioning. He considered irreversible. This is the effect of bad association. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, when he was asked, what is the process of becoming a great devotee of the Lord? He said, Asat Sanga Tyaga Avaishnavachar. Said, this is the process. That you always associate with saintly people. And you never associate with people who are too much materialistic and too much attached to selfishly enjoying their senses. He said, if you simply do those two things, you will easily attain spiritual perfection. Because we become what we associate with. The longer we associate with certain modes of material nature, the more we become so conditioned by those modes. We have all found in our own life how much difficult it is to overcome the conditionings of our past activities. Some people think, I'm really not conditioned. I can do whatever I like. The test is whether you're able to say no and do it. Just like I speak to so many people. Recently I was speaking to someone, he was smoking all cigarettes. He said, I'm not smoking because I'm addicted, I'm smoking because I like it, because I enjoy it. And after all, life is meant for enjoyment, so I'm not worried, I just do what I enjoy. I said, oh, you are not habituated? He said, of course not. It's simply pleasurable. I said, all right, if that's true, then for the next 2 weeks, do not smoke. See if you have that power. He cannot do it. He tried and couldn't do it. He realized he was a slave. The longer you associate with any of the modes of material nature through your activities and your desires and your words, the more you become conditioned by that, and it becomes practically impossible to give it up. Just like in our own lives, our spiritual master, he would always tell us about one Lord Jetland, one of the marquees of the British government. At one time, he was the governor of Bengal. And he was actually very favorable to those who were following the Hindu religion. He was very supportive. In fact, he even would study the Vedas and associate with many sadhus. But after independence, he went back to England and was given a big, big position. So one of our Guru's godbrothers met with him, and he was very favorable, very respectful, very helpful. And he said, you know what I want in my life? I want to become a Brahmin. Huh? He was a British-born man. He said, I want to become a Brahmin. Can you make me a Brahmin? He said, yes, I can make you a Brahmin. Brahmin is not by birth. Brahmin is by quality. First thing, you have to give up four sinful activities. That means no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. Lord Jetland said, to give up these four things? Impossible. How will I live? How can any human being survive without illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling? Now, here in India, there are so many people from pious families who throughout their life have never touched those things. And they have not even the slightest inclination for those things. But for this man, it is impossible. It's unthinkable. Why? Because he's conditioned. Because of his association. Conditioning is so difficult to overcome. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we read the story of when Krishna, he was dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. He completely defeated this snake who had just previously tried to kill him. He bit him in the chest. He tried to squeeze him to death with his coils. He was trying to bite him, eat him, crush him. And Krishna was just dancing. But his dancing, although his lotus feet are so soft that the gopis weep throughout the day when they think that his feet are touching little stones and twigs. Those same feet, they were crushing the head of Kaliya as he was gracefully dancing upon them, soft like a rose and hard like a thunderbolt. And the wives of Kaliya, they were actually good Vaishnavas. And they were devotees of Sri Krishna. And they were so happy seeing their husband being destroyed by Krishna. Huh? They were very chaste wives, actually. They were loyal and faithful to him, but they were thinking, ah, Krishna's crushing him. If he dies, very good. Then we can become widows. We don't have to waste any of our time with him. We can just chant Hare Krishna and do bhajan throughout the day. Very nice. But they saw that as he was being crushed by the feet of Krishna, he actually started to become humble. For the first time, they saw humility in his eyes. And he began to take shelter of Krishna. So the Nagapatnis began to offer prayers. They said, my dear Lord, now he is very humble. Please release him. Now he has become your devotee. This is what he had to go through to become your devotee. Why? Because you must know that he's born in the body of a serpent. And our conditioning is so deeply rooted, not only through the activities that we have performed in this life, but in the activities we have performed in all our previous lives. This Kaliya is a snake. Snakes are by nature, it is their conditioned nature by the three modes of material nature to be envious, violent, and cruel. So we cannot blame him for being the way he is. It is his conditioned nature. And this conditioned nature is so difficult to ever change, to ever give up. But Krishna, your lotus feet, those same lotus feet that great yogis and sages performed tapasya for many, many, many years to get a glimpse of, the same lotus feet that even Brahma and Shiva and Lakshmi are anxious to even to get one grain of dust from. The perfection of the life of all of creation is to attain a grain of dust from your lotus feet. And those same lotus feet, they are so benevolently dancing upon the heads of our husband Kaliya. But when the feet of Krishna begin to dance in your head, the effect will be that it purifies you. And all your previous conditionings, which have created so many desires and conceptions, they start to come out like vomit. Kaliya started vomiting fire. Then he started vomiting poison. Then he started vomiting blood. This was the first effect of Krishna dancing on his head. And he was miserable. And even worse than that, although he was this big, thousand-hooded serpent who was so powerful, he was very proud. He was the king of the snakes. No one could defeat him. But his prestige, you know, every man likes to show off to women, except brahmacharis are not supposed to do that. But it is natural in this world, especially your wife. You like to show how good you are, how talented you are, how no one can defeat me. Huh? Anyways, Kaliya, he was a conditioned soul. And here all his wives were standing around, and he, big serpent, so powerful, and the little tiny boy, just a child, was dancing effortlessly and completely crushing him, defeating him, and he was helpless. His ego was smashed. His physical prowess was smashed. He was in such pain, physically, mentally, on every level. We cannot imagine the pain he was enduring. But through all that pain, all the poisons of his egoistic conception started pouring out. And after all the poisons had drained from his mind and his body, he became humble. He became a humble devotee. And he began to seek shelter of the Lord. And because he heard the Nagapatnis praying so nicely, in a submissive state of mind, he heard them. Previously, obviously, they preached to him so much, but he never heard because he was too proud. But in this condition of being totally defeated, in a hopeless state, he became very submissive, very humble. And he heard the words of his wives, and he began to repeat those very words in his own way to Sri Krishna. That I am a serpent. Please forgive me. Due to my conditioned nature, what do you expect of me? I'm an envious, violent, cruel being. But because you are so infinitely kind, you have your shelter of your feet have purified me of all my previous conditionings. Now I surrender to you. Now I am your servant. Now you do whatever you like with me. Anything. If you want to kill me, I'm prepared to die at your feet. And I'm grateful. And if you want to spare my life, I promise you that from this day on, I am your obedient, loving servant, who with all my hoods will chant your beautiful holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Daivi Yeshu Gunamai, Mama Maya Duratya, Mama Vami Papajante, Maya Meta Tarantite. Krishna admits in the Bhagavad Gita that the conditioning that is within our life, born of the three modes of material nature, is very, very, very difficult to overcome. We all have our spiritual laziness, we all have our attachments, we all have our sinful inclinations, we all have our illusions, and we know that they're wrong. And we know what we should be doing. But we can't do it. These ropes just keep dragging us the other way. We know we should be humble and respectful, but we become angry and egoistic, and we can't control it. We know we should be self-controlled, but from time to time our senses go wild, they become inflamed, and they drag us to perform activities which we know we will regret, and we can't stop it. We know we should rise early to pray and to chant the holy names, but we want to sleep. We know we should be giving the best we have to Krishna, but we want to keep it. We're afraid. We don't want to lose it. We know we should be engaging so much of our life's energies in devotional service, but we're conditioned to sit in front of the television, or we're conditioned to eat nasty foods. We're conditioned in so many ways. And we can't give it up, because it is our conditioned nature. Krishna says it's very difficult to overcome your conditioned nature. These ropes are dragging you, and you have no power unless you surrender to Krishna. Krishna, because Kali has surrendered, Krishna purified him of all of his bad habits. Dhritarashtra, if he was simply willing to surrender to Krishna, he would have been freed from the influences. But why could he not surrender to Krishna? Asat sangatyaga avaishnavacha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, because of his association with materialistic people, it was impossible for him to surrender to Krishna. The beginning of surrender means you have to give up that bad association, and you have to seek out the association of sadhus, association of spiritually minded people. In that atmosphere, it becomes possible to surrender. Otherwise, it cannot be done. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paryupashate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yoga kshemam vaham yaham. Krishna says, for one who surrenders to me, I will make up for all of his shortcomings. I will give him strength in his weaknesses. I will give hope in his hopelessness. I will give conviction and faith in his doubt. Krishna says, he carries what we lack and preserves what we have. And one who surrenders to me, Krishna says, easily can cross beyond these conditioned modes of material nature. That is our hope. This is Sanatana Dharma. to purify our hearts, to purify our lives, to free ourselves from the ropes of the modes of material nature, and allow the eternal nature of the soul to shine through our life, to give light to the world. The eternal nature of the soul, Jivaraswaropoya Krishnara Nityadas. Sanatan Dharma means to be engaged in our natural function of loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The nature of the soul is to love. The nature of the soul is to give. Recently, one lady asked me, what is the difference between compassion and passion? The difference is, passion means to take, and compassion means to give. Kama, lust, means to take more and more and more, and love means to give more and more and more. Love is without selfishness. Love is simply the giving of our hearts, the giving of our minds, the giving of our words, the giving of our wealth, the giving of our activities, the giving of everything we have for the object of our beloved. That is love. And lust means to take as much as I can and more and more and more and more and more to satisfy my greed. This is passion. I want. It's insatiable. It burns like fire. This morning we were reading about Krishna, how he swallowed an entire forest fire. But the fact is, there is a forest fire burning in our own hearts, and it's unquenchable. Nothing can satisfy it. But if we just turn to Krishna, like the Brijvasis did, he can swallow it in a second. It is a fact. The more we give of ourselves in the service of the Lord, the more the Lord reciprocates and gives us the realization, the experience, and the revelation of Satchit Ananda, the eternal blissful nature of the soul. And the more we try to keep back, the more we are simply remain bound helplessly. That is our condition. This Krishna consciousness movement is simply a presentation of Krishna's mercy to the world. That by good association, by giving up materialistic association, and by coming in that association and learning how to take shelter of Krishna, even our worst, most terrible habits can be purified. Two things are required: to associate with saintly people and to take shelter of Krishna as he is appearing in this age of Kali Yuga through the sound of his name. You know the story of Valmiki Muni. He was a murderer. He was a hunter. He was a highway robber. He was a dacoit. First degree dacoit. And he was so conditioned to so many bad habits. He was so conditioned, his lips could not even say the name Ram. All of us, we can say the name Ram easily. So we can understand, we are not even a fraction as conditioned and sinful and fallen as him. His conditioning was so powerful, the name Ram could not come from his lips. But by his association with Sri Narada Muni, just by associating with the saintly person, he was told to chant Mara, 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 Mara. Through Narada Muni's grace, he was chanting the name of Ram. And by associating and following the instruction of his guru, and chanting the holy name of Ram, he became the most purified of all pure souls. He became one of the greatest munis, mahatmas, that have ever lived. It is by his mercy that the Ramayana has been given to the world. This is the power of saintly association and the holy name of God. And we are all gathered here today for this purpose only. We come here because we want to overcome our bad habits, our previous conditionings. We want to purify our heart and come to the level of overcoming passion and becoming compassionate, overcoming lust and learning how to love. Cutting the millions and billions of knots that these ropes of material nature have all over our consciousness and our life. And this is the process, to come together in the association of devotees and to take shelter of Krishna's holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you very much.